Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
As Israel pursues any military operations against Hamas, it has to prioritize the protection of civilians. It has to make that job number one. Too many people have been caught in this crossfire of Hamas's making. Children, women, men, losing their lives. Their safety has to be a priority, and military operations need to be designed around their protection, not the other way around.
That's our Secretary of State saying Israel needs to make the protection of civilians the number one priority. He emphasized that a couple of times. Number one, above eliminating Hamas. I don't know if that is reality or not. Among the things we will discuss with Mike Lyons, a military analyst we've had on many, many times over the years because we like talking to him. Mike served with various military organizations in both the United States and Europe throughout his career. You can follow him at MAJ Mike Lyons, because if something big happens militarily, I usually go to his feed to see what he's got to say about it. Mike Lyons, welcome to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Hey, Jack, great to be back with you.
Hey, what was your first reaction when you heard about the aid workers being killed?
Fog of war, frankly. That's the most dangerous place on the planet right now, in that spot. The fact that from the combat zone perspective, and you put civilians in there, I didn't, you know, we learned now more about the what's kind of going on. That, you know, Israel basically outsourced the security of those organizations to Hamas. There was gunmen that were there. There was, you know, if you're in that environment, you need protection as well. And it looks like they were Hamas operatives that were protecting those convoys. And so I just figured out a lot of things must have went wrong, and misidentification, mistakes, late at night, darkness, all these things, even with all the technology that we have. And that leads to the disaster it had. I mean, I think that, you know, it was three different targets. They didn't bother to take the time in between after hitting the first target to assess what was going on. They were pretty set on taking out those three targets right away. And if they did that, they might have at least not shot the second and the third truck in the convoy. But fundamentally, that is the most dangerous place in the world. And there's an expectation that that's going to happen. And all the things that went wrong. And that's just what happens.
Well, so I assume that you agree that the growing analysis that this was on purpose is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it wasn't on purpose. They could have done better. A lot of it has to do with their rules of engagement. It looks that the Israelis fired the fire support officer, the one that was really responsible for formulating the target and pulling the trigger, as well as others in the chain of command. So they've taken full responsibility for it. It was not on purpose. They like anything else, it could have done better. As they go down and redo what their rules of engagement were. I mean, this is, if you get into the details of this, it was a convoy that did add gunmen to it that went into a warehouse and came out, and they made the presumption that those gunmen were still on the trucks, and they didn't see the World Central Kitchen marker on the top. Of course not. It's 11 o'clock at night. They didn't see that. There should have been a beacon on it, for example. That's what I would want. I'd want, you know, safety flare beacons on those and telling everybody that this is a safety, this is a vehicle that's delivering some kind of aid. But what the rules of engagement, I think, changed now is that you've got to put an Israeli soldier on the ground or a convoy that's got to approach that, and you can't take it out from a drone. They took that out from, 20 miles away, looking through a TV screen. That's where it got impersonal. I think that's what the problem was.
Well, I'm just a talk show host. I've never been involved in any of this sort of stuff. I don't want to go too far down the road of being callous, but are we holding, or is the world holding Israel to a standard that can't be met? Or do you feel like they have been too loosey-goosey? I mean, how many people did the Biden administration kill there in Kabul? Guy coming home with a bunch of water bottles and his kids run out to greet him and we blew them all up with a drone strike. Barack Obama, when Joe Biden was vice president, the Doctors Without Borders thing that happened, where like 40 people died in that. That was another mistake that we apologized for, but we don't always get it right either.
No. And in fact, when we didn't relieve anybody for it either, we didn't punish anybody as well. No, I think Israel is held to a very high standard with regard to conducting this war. I think that, they've warned their enemy that they're coming the next day. They're trying to move civilians. This is an enemy that embeds himself with civilians. And so, no, I don't think they've been loosey-goosey. I think in this case, with just all, again, with what all the situations that take place in the time and the place between the 20 minutes when they decided they had a target, when they thought it was a combatant, and it turns out it wasn't, it's just the worst possible scenario. But no, I think Israel has been fine. They held to a higher standard. They're held to their own standard, which they've been able to explain. I just don't think the rest of the world is listening. The rest of the world does, for some reason, hold them more responsible than Hamas.
Right.
Every death, civilian casualty, is Hamas's problem, not Israel's problem.
Right.
So that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, that's interesting. So the news all day yesterday on this story, at least like on the Sunday talk shows, was that Israel had pulled a bunch of troops out of southern Gaza, and they were sort of portraying it as a sign that maybe Israel was backing off, we're headed toward a ceasefire. Do you see it that way, or are they just rearranging for the big final battle in Rafah?
I think it's smart, and I'll tell you why. Because they've recognized that the maneuver element of this conflict is over now, at least in these areas that they had. What I mean by that is the use of shock effect tanks and APCs and artillery. This enemy is so embedded with the civilians in Rafah right now that they recognize that let's move these maneuver elements out for now and then get ready for this attack that will take place maybe in a couple of weeks from now as they kind of gear up for it. So and then at the same time kind of put the cooling down with regard to there's no way that they'll attack a convoy or something by accident at this point. But in the same token, you had the most number of trucks the other day get into the Gaza. This is Israel allows its enemy to be resupplied. I mean, this is crazy on some level, right? They allow this to happen. They allow Hamas to come in and take over all of these supplies that are coming in from from the outside. So they still have an uphill battle, but I think this is going to be a refit and rearm themselves in order to eventually take Rafah in the next few weeks.
I know you're a big student of military history. Are there parallels to this when you're attacked by someone? We didn't make it our number one priority, as the Secretary of State just said, to feed the Japanese people as we were bombing them. Does this happen ever before this?
No. There's not a lot of historical parallels to this, and that's because this is an enemy that's fighting non-conventionally, and that's why they have to move those forces. Traditional maneuver and fire is against an enemy that does the same thing, that also admits defeat at some point, recognizes that it's not doing anything for the civilian population. And that's, this argument about, well, we can't, they can't win because you can't defeat an ideology. Well, don't tell that to what happened to the Germans. They defeated an ideology. ideology. They destroyed everything that was there. And so the same ideology was defeated in Japan. And that's what Israel is doing. Israel's fighting this war like it's 1945, and they're not stopping. They're not stopping for one bit. They're not stopping because of what Joe Biden says or what Blinken says or whatever the case may be. The problem is Joe Biden's fighting it like it's 1918. He wants to just stop it in cold and give Hamas a chance to rearm and retool and refuel, and that's what will happen over the next 40 years. But Israel's not going to let that happen.
So our government released a report on Friday that kind of flew under the radar, I feel like, that we are preparing for a retaliation by Iran somewhere in the Middle East on a target, either us or the Israel. Do you think Iran is going to retaliate? They vowed retaliation, but they've been vowing that sort of thing for, right, you know, since I was a kid.
Yeah, my phone rang over the weekend off the hook on that. I just don't think that's still the case, because that opens up a whole nother front. If Iran launched a missile from Iran, some medium or long range missile, and hit Tel Aviv or hit something, then that opens up a complete new front for Israel to attack back. And their attack will not be proportional. They will go after their nuclear facilities. They'll go after their Pentagon equivalent in Tehran. They will, again. I just don't believe Iran is, you know, kind of dumb enough to do that. To say that they're going to use their proxies and use all what they can. One of the things that I've seen reports on is trying to cut off their land bridge that goes from Israel into the Persian Gulf. That means activating proxy groups inside of Jordan, inside of Iraq, and cutting off supplies that Israel is sending some of its goods to the Persian Gulf that way. But again, for Iran to engage Israel directly, I don't think that's a good idea from their perspective.
What is your? That's interesting. Your phone was ringing off the hook on that particular question. What is your realistic worst case scenario? Where are you concerned? Like, what's the sort of thing that could keep you awake at night over the next week or two?
Yeah, it's the same thing that could have happened back in 1972 and 1967. If all these Arab nations decided to say, you know what, we've had it with Israel, we've had it, and they all got together and they decided to overwhelm them. Israel still could potentially be overwhelmed in the north with Hezbollah and in Lebanon. They could and potentially have the Iranians decide to get involved with ground forces. The Houthis, we see what they're doing. They can fire a lot more rockets. And then Hamas has been, you know, somewhat defeated, but there's still battalions left in the south there in Rafah. That to me is the nightmare scenario, because then Israel would have a real tough challenge defending all of those different fronts. That's the nightmare scenario. And thank God in the last 50 or 60 years that hasn't happened. It almost happened during the Yom Kippur War, as these Arab countries that, you know, decide to get together, but they just can't seem to hold it together, and Israel ends up defeating them. That would be the worst possible scenario.
Interesting. Well, appreciate your time and your expertise on this sort of thing. Need to talk to somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. Major Mike Lyons, thanks for coming on the Armstrong and Getty Show today.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having me.
You betcha.
Armstrong and Getty.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.